The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Every morning, Taryn Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 29th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm doing really well, Taryn. I love that I get to talk to you on Fridays because my days off begin then, so I know it's going to be a good 2 days off, and I smell blood in the air, so let's discuss it.
Yes, we are coming off fresh from the double eviction where we saw Chelsea and Eddie leave the house, and so we have some things to update you on: the new HOH winner, the plans for the coming week, and we're gonna see how this goes. It was day 27 in the house yesterday, and I do want to quickly update you on the morning before the eviction, and it's quickly update you because ultimately it's of no consequence. Basically, if you remember from yesterday, what was happening was that Chelsea was on the block next to Kira, and Chelsea was trying to use her information about the Guys Alliance to benefit her on the block, but in all of the wrong ways. And so she approached Esty by herself and told her about the Guys Alliance and how they had a hand signal and they were working together. The women need to stick together. F the patriarchy. You saw that on the show last night. And ultimately, Esty just ran straight to Dane about this. And the reason was that if it was true, that she felt like Dane would admit it to her. And Dane did not admit it to her, so she believes him. So then in the morning yesterday, they talked to Kiki about this. They were like, Kiki, you'll never believe what Chelsea tried to say last night. Oh, it's great. It's great. She thinks there's a guy alliance and that they've got a hand signal and that they're working. Isn't this ridiculous, Kiki? And Kiki was like, you're right. It is ridiculous.
It's like everything this week is lining up with information that's being played in the house. And we're all hoping this is it. This is the straw that's going to break the camel's back. But I just love how they are able to convince themselves that the ammunition that is real is useless. And it just works out this way where these two just have a good laugh about it. And poor Chelsea, because Chelsea's now going to be sitting at home watching all this go down. I'm like, I told you so. I told you so with every single one. It's incredible.
Yeah. And really, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people were ragging on Esty for her choice here to go straight to Dane. And, you know, rightfully so. But I think that Kiki's decision to do nothing is way worse than Esty's, because Esty is protected a lot more by Dane than Kiki ever will be. So Kiki is the expendable player that is going to get thrown in the garbage the second they need somebody to throw in the garbage. Like, she is the one that needs to be like, ah, if this is true, I am screwed. Whereas at least Esty gets to be like, well, maybe I'm the Britney and I'll make it to Final Four, and then maybe Dane will try to get me to the end. You know what I mean? So, you know, I just, Kiki, just Kiki, forever the optimist, Kiki. Just doesn't, can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah, the one person who always finds a silver lining in whatever chaos is around her. But you're absolutely right. I mean, Esty's situated in a place where she's got one of these guys, so she can feel good knowing, I think my allegiance with this person is true. I think Dane is with me, so I am not worried about this information. Kiki has nowhere else to land on except with Esty. And if it's a choice that comes between Esty and her, she's got to realize at this point that she's the expendable one. But like you said, it's just the silver lining, the optimism. For now, at least, she's not taking any weight in what Chelsea is saying. And poor Chelsea, because I feel like it was maybe too little too late to play on this information, too little too late to try and execute. And no one's really buying anything she's selling at this point, because everyone's kind of convinced themselves that she's gone. So nothing this person says means anything anymore, which is a shame, because it really does.
Yeah, well, so Sam, you know, heard from Chelsea that Chelsea approached the you know, Esty, and you know, this information was out there. So Sam is now like, all right, now they're on board. There's a guy alliance. I'm going to go talk to Esty and Kiki. And she goes, and this is something we talked about on the podcast last night, that, you know, some people thought this was maybe a little more solid than it was. But just be clear, this was not solid. But Sam went to Esty and Kiki and was like, hey, you heard about the guys thing, right? There's something going on. I feel like the women need to stick together, that, I'm not going to put you guys on the block. You guys aren't going to put me on the block. And they're like, yes, absolutely. Women stick together. We're totally, totally doing this. They're not doing that.
No, they are not at all. None of these, that whole slumber party that was supposed to go down a couple weeks ago, they need it now more than ever, but no one wants to come over and sleep over. That's not happening.
Mm. Yes. So, so that's what was happening prior to the eviction. Just a quick recap, just to let you know how bad you should feel about this one. We get to the double eviction, and Chelsea is voted out unanimously, followed by, and I will say, I forgot to mention on this on the podcast last night, I feel like they heard us. I feel like the booing was better.
I think so too.
It's still there, very light, but it's not as loud and not as obvious, so kudos.
If we're loud enough, they'll hear us. That's what I've come to learn now. But it's really good that we're not getting those random boos now. Or at least we're getting a very minimalized version. Mm. Happy about it.
So Chelsea is evicted unanimously. Adam is going to win the next HOH. It comes down to Mark, who apparently was going to take a shot. Eddie, and Adam. And of course, Adam is going to win the question competition. And he is going to nominate Eddie and Kiki. His first thought was the twins, but it seems like Anthony and some others talked him out of that and pushed him more toward Eddie. And so Eddie and Kiki on the block. Kiki ends up winning the veto, takes herself down. And at that point, Sam encourages Adam to take a shot at a big dog. You know, you gotta go for a big target here. You gotta make a big move. And Adam was like, oh, it's just too early. It's too early. So I'm not going to do that. And he replaces Kiki with Kira. So Eddie is going to be evicted unanimously as the second person to leave that night. So that's what you saw on the double eviction. After the double eviction, we had another HOH competition. And Puya, there's hope. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Because the person that knows about the guy alliance, Sam, wins the HOH, apparently in a tiebreaker with Dane, who, if Dane had won that tiebreaker, it would have been his third HOH, and it would have been five HOHs between him and Adam, still the only people to have won any HOH competitions. But no, it's Sam. She managed to wrestle it from Dane's grippy hands. This is the second time in a row it's come down to Sam and Dane at the end of an HOH competition. Very, very close. And she knows about the Guys Alliance. She knows Dane's been coming for her. Here we go. Now is the time. She is finally going to take a shot at Dane to make sure he gets out before he can win any more HOH competitions over her. Let's go. Let's go, Puya.
It's time, man. It's time. We've been waiting for this. This has been a showdown. And finally, the one person that's been saying her name the most is now losing to her, and she has a chance to take a shot. So, Taryn, enlighten all of us. Where is the shot going?
Puya.
Yes.
You're asking some really hard questions here.
I mean, I think it makes sense, Taryn, don't you? I think it makes a lot of sense. I think the writing's on the wall. Yeah. It should be where it goes, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so let's just bask in that glory for a little while. Let's live in the reality of, like, it makes the most sense, and that's clearly what's going to happen. She's going to target Dane. Let's just live in that reality for just a second here. Because something else that happened is that the lounge is open. When the feeds come back, the lounge is open. The Blood Veto is sitting right there, and people are just chilling in there. So some things that happened with that opening is that apparently Damien and Esty got in there first, and then I don't know, maybe the door closed behind them at some point, I think, and so people were like, whoa, what happened? Did they get something? Did they see something? Because they're also noticing that there are TV screens on the walls, and so that's very sketchy, and so people are starting to get paranoid about that. Did they see footage? Did they get a power? I don't know. Mark is the person most worried, because he's been talking to the cameras about betraying the Pretty Boys for quite a while now, and so Mark goes into full-on panic mode and goes straight to Dane, and he's like, Dane, I just want you to hear from me first, just to, you know, in case Esty tells you something, I don't know, like that she saw on maybe a TV screen or something. Which I just want you to know that, like, I've in a moment of anger, I might have come into the archive room and been like, F Dane, I want to get him out, something like that. I don't know. It was just in anger. It's not true at all. I'm pretty burst for life. So please don't do anything about that.
Absolutely. Petrified. He didn't know what to do with himself, because I guess his thing was he saw Esty's face. Esty looked a little scared. He went up to both Esty and Damien and said, like, I know you guys heard stuff. I know you guys know stuff. And like, no, we don't know anything. And he's like, well, I know you, I believe you, but good luck convincing the rest of the house. And then he goes and blows himself up to Dane, hoping that Dane gets, like, he got to Dane first. But then his other thing was, what do you think? Do you think we should just go to the house and say everything, reveal everything right now? Like, Mark, calm down. You don't even know what has happened in there. For all you know, it's information that benefits you. Like, he's just so convinced that this is all going to come crumbling down on him, and that he's such a mastermind with his one-on-one camera time that, like, this is really going to change his fate. Like, relax, guy. They haven't been in there that long. Relax.
Yeah, like, to be a little bit fair to Mark, I think the conclusion is a fair one. It's one that we made as well, that that they might see something like that. But the reaction to it is all wrong. Because there are two options here. Either they saw something. There are three options. Either they saw something and it didn't relate to Mark, and he does nothing. He has nothing to worry about. They didn't see something, and Mark has nothing to worry about. Or they saw something and it relates to Mark, and he does have something to worry about. So of those three scenarios, him going to Dane and explaining ahead of time that he shit-talked him, unnecessarily, you know, just admits it in the first place. And in the one scenario where he has been caught with something, like, just wait and see.
Yeah.
And then explain it after. Like,
yeah.
You know, at the very least, you can, like, try and just wait and see, like, hopefully Dane comes to you. He probably would. And even if he doesn't, you could just try and see, like, when you talk to him, just try and get a read. Like, is he acting differently? Is something off here? Granted, he knew something was off with Esty. She was looking like she saw a ghost. Hell. So he knew for sure that she had seen something. So I don't know if his read is going to be, you know, super great. But, it's much better to be reactive in these circumstances than proactive. Especially when you're just, like, straight up admitting that you've done something, and, like, why would it be about you? Like, of all the people in the house, like, why would you get caught like that. And the most annoying part about this is that now that they've seen these TV screens, we're not going to get any more camera talk. Like, there's no way Mark is going to talk about his plans anymore in the cameras.
No, this is going to kill all of that. That's like some of the best stuff can come out of those one-on-one camera times. Like, I think about Paris last season and how much she talked to the cameras and talked to us. And that was always great to see. Kiki's been doing this. Mark has been doing this. And you're right. It was a 1-in-3 shot that it was worst case scenario from was 1-of-3. That's 33%. 66%, you're fine. But he acted, he went all in on this. And that's not great because you want to hedge your bets here. You want to like wait and see what happens. If it starts looking like people are being cagey with you, then yes, then go talk and try and like, you know, subtly, easily put it in there. But to do it like this, it just makes you come off as so much worse. I feel like it just makes it seem like you can't be trusted because you're kind of giving it like, I don't know. I just feel like it was a bad move on his part to be so so proactive so quickly when he didn't know what was going to happen.
Very, very, very silly stuff here from Mark. He is going to question Damien about it too. Like, did you see anything? Did you get anything? Like, what's going on, Damien? And Damien denies it. I saw nothing. We saw nothing. I promise. So that's what's going on with the secret room.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, now we're going to get to some nomination talk. All right, let's get down to the business. All right, here we go. Let's target Dane. Sam starts talking to Adam, and she says, all right, Adam, first order of business. I want to keep my word to Dane. I'm not going to target Dane.
Spoiler alert, everybody. Yes, the one thing that we think should make the most sense and will happen is the first thing to get taken off the table altogether.
Yeah.
I want to stay loyal to his promise. I want him to be in the jury. I'm not going to do this. Oh, okay, Sam. You do you, boo-boo. You do you. I don't know why.
So she starts talking. Okay. How about we target the twins? Adam's I was okay with that. But she's also concerned about Corey. All women so far. You're really concerned about Corey. She really seems to want to target Corey. Adam's basically okay as long as it's a woman. She also starts, oh, well, maybe I can nominate Mark. And he's like, oh, I thought you trusted Mark. Oh, no, not really. I don't know. And they're like fighting the whole time. Like, is there a guy's thing? No, there's not a guy's thing. Like, what are you talking about? Like, oh, hey, target the women. Okay, I'll target the women. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And then Adam asks about Damien. Well, what about Damien? And she says, nah, I feel good about Damien. He's like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's literally like Damien had one conversation with them over a week ago where he was on the block and they were trying to flip the vote against him. And so he was like, I promise I'm not coming for you.
That's
and
it.
They still believe that he's cool based on that.
The return on investments from that one conversation is really paying out for Damien here. He's just fine. They're fine with him. And this is so, you know, in all the comparisons we've made to the Brigade and the Pretty Boys this season, whether they're the light version, the Walmart version, whatever have you, this is where it starts getting tough for an alliance like this, where they're trying to stay on their wraps. There were so many more numbers before that they could push in front. Now they're getting to this point where it's very limited numbers because everyone's kind of got their own side piece, side alliance thing going on. So they're going to want to try and keep them safe. So when you're walking this tightrope, you really come down on three options. And Adam's probably, to me, one of the worst people here because he's that guy where it's like when you're trying to give someone advice to do something and you start seeing, okay, they're going my way. And then they suddenly say the opposite of what you want. Wait, didn't you just say that that's not what you want to be doing? Adam is that guy. He's really trying to keep as many people as he wants safe here. But the problem is there's not that many rocks to turn over here. You really got to like, let Sam have what she wants, especially on the heels of Sam finding out that there's some stuff going on and Sam hearing stuff. But he thinks, all I can say is like, just don't take Chelsea's thoughts out of your head. Like, Chelsea's not here anymore. She doesn't know what she was talking about. And Sam's like, no, I see things. I know things. I can see things as well. So this butting of heads, I do foresee going deep in the game.
Yeah. So she also mentions that Kira is not an option. She will not be nominating Kira. And just not Kiki Kira. Kira. So Adam thinks it should be Kiki. Because, you know, that's, he nominated Kiki. That seems like the right just continuance there. He also thinks that by getting Kiki out, Sam can get closer to Esty. But Sam is really concerned about the Corey and Anthony duo. Feels like targeting them is her best move. But Kira is going to join them, and Kira says, I think you should target Kiki because then you can get closer to Esty. Where does this idea come from? How did they both have it? Like, how is getting Kiki out of the house going to make Esty and Sam closer together?
Right. If anything, it's going to push Esty further into the arms of Dane.
Yes.
And not Sam. So I don't know where they're coming up with this.
I mean, I can understand it from Adam's point of view because he knows it's a lie to some extent. But I don't know why Kira thinks this. So Kira also says no. Don't target Corey and Anthony. They are numbers that we can pull to our side. Kira, I know I was streaming on Twitch at this point. A lot of people were like, all right, so Sam is thinking this way, but hold on. Once Kira gets involved, Kira knows about the guys. Kira will help push Sam in the right direction to target the guys. First order of business. Don't you dare target Anthony. No. And then Sam at one point is like, but okay, maybe I should consider Dane. And Kira's like, no, not Dane. So Kira not helping.
Not helping in the least bit. And the best part is, you know, Sam thinking Kira's really smart. Kira's good for us. So this Kira information, the way she's thinking, is only going to, you know, not help Sam in this instance, because it's kind of incredible how she has this knowledge, but she's going opposite of what she was saying. And Anthony is also someone, it's worth noting that, Sam also thinks she can beat in competitions. So that's why if she was looking at that duo, she still wants Corey out of the two.
Yes. And it's actually going to be a lengthy conversation here because both Adam and Kira are pushing the Kiki thing, that they feel like Kiki should be the target. And Sam is really stuck on Corey. She really seems to want Corey out, to the point where, you know, things are still happening this morning. Sam is talking to people. I do think that she is inclined enough to target Corey that if certain conversations go, you know, the right or wrong way, that she may be like, guys, no, it has to be Corey. I mean, she's talking, I think, to Kiki right now. So I said last night that I don't have faith that Kiki could change this situation because she's pretty bad when she goes to talk to the HOH to campaign for herself. So I don't expect it to change, but I do think that that, you know, Sam really did seem to want to target Corey here. I think it's, you know, Corey's win in the veto, and she wants to kind of take a strike at Anthony. So yeah. So that's kind of what's going on. They're going back and forth about this. Kira feels like Mark should be the pawn. So it would be Mark and Kiki on the block, which I will say will probably be kind of fun. And really, I mean, if we're looking at this from Kira's perspective, part of me feels a little bit like, okay, they just managed to get Chelsea out, and now they're really gunning, like really gunning hard for Kiki, the other woman that rejected them.
That's what I was thinking too. It's Scornedville. Not happy. Kira's not happy and coming after the people who were not into them. It's kind of coming that, looking that way right now, optically speaking.
It does. That way. It does look that way. Because they were very set on this. And honestly, like, their reasoning is not sound. Like, they're wrong about everything, so like I don't know
what else is there to give, right? Like, kind of like one thing looking out here.
So Kira's really pushing for the Kiki stuff, and Mark seems like, okay, Mark would be a good pawn. And Adam's kind of okay with this plan. And so, you know, this is kind of what they're thinking. This is the game plan here.
Yeah. And honestly, like you said, I'm pretty interested to see if this is what happens, because I think it'll be fun. Given the little bit we see with Mark blowing up last night and all worry, I feel like this could even push that into overdrive, where he just feels like he's in a position where he has to let out information. He has to do what he can to stay in. So regardless of him being the pawn or not, I don't know if I trust him to keep his composure if he finds out he's the pawn or he's told he's the pawn. I don't know if that's possible for him right now.
Yes. So we then get a little bit of Kiki and Damien. They're talking about, like, what can we do to stay off the block? Kiki lets Damien know, you know, hey, Chelsea and Sam, they think there's a guy alliance going on, and because they're super paranoid and they're really dumb. So maybe we can use that to help us, to help shift the targets. So Damien is finally going to get a whiff of the Chelsea, Kira, Sam theory about the guys alliance, but it's just like, it's filtered through the twins' perspective, and it's just a tiny little taste of it. And they're like, it's super dumb and paranoid, but this is what they think. So this is not gonna do anything here. But you know, they would love to get the target onto Mark. They would love if they could get Mark on the block and send Mark home. So that is their game plan here.
Yeah, and it's like you said, once the information like this gets funneled, it also depends how the person is transmitting it. So it went from being a serious concern to then getting to the young bloods to then SD telling Kiki, and Kiki kind of deciding this is silly and dumb and stupid. So now when she tells it to Damien, it's almost like a joke. I mean, it's going to be in the back of his head, which is good, because if other information comes around that proves it, then maybe he'll bring it back up to the front of mind. But right now it's just kind of like something they can laugh over and like brush aside and move on. Yep. So
we also get Dane is going to talk to Adam and Sam and Kira a bit. So, you know, they talk for a while. Dane sort of gets the hint that he should be okay, but, you know, the twins might be in trouble in terms of nominations. He's fine with that. And Anthony's going to talk with them as well. And Anthony's going to do his Anthony thing about, like, well, here's what you should do. And so, you know, they do that. They also talk about lots of other things. Sam is getting kind of tipsy. She's been drinking some drinks, and then we're gonna get Dane, Esty, and Kiki late at night. They're in the have not room. They all became have nots together, and this is just the imagery of this. They have combined the individual like floor beds in the have not room to one big bed, and Dane just lays in between Kiki and Esty, as Esty is like snuggling up to him, and as he explains to them how they might be going on the block, but he's cool, and telling them what to say to Sam and how to protect them as he's secretly working Kiki's demise.
It must be fun to be Dane in this situation, when you feel the safety and you kind of, you know you're good with these two, but you also know they might go up. He is definitely Scarface in the middle, holding them both and just kind of talking through the things. And he's not really concerned, which is, again, it's fun to be Dane right now. Surprisingly, it's fun to be Dane right now. It shouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
So that's really what's going on. So it looks like the nominations right now are probably going to be Mark and Kiki. Now, these are interesting nominations, because they could, there are things that could happen here. And when I say interesting, I mean, for Sam, they're probably the worst possible nominations she could have made. But for the rest of us in the house, it's kind of interesting, because with Kiki and Mark on the block, obviously the pretty boys, their first interest should be, we need to keep Mark safe. They have the votes. Right. That's always been the plan. And for Dane, he just heard that Mark has been shit talking him to the cameras. Mm-hmm. He's kind of weirded out by that. So maybe Dane decides, hey, I want my girls to stay around. I want Kiki and the jury. If Mark is coming after me, maybe I should just let Mark go, especially because it would kind of expose me to stick my neck out for him. However, Dane also might think, if Kiki leaves, then I get Esty all to myself, and I can take Esty to the end, and she'll take me to the final two instead of Kiki. And I don't know. Maybe that's kind of a good thing, and especially since this is not my fault that Kiki is leaving. Like, oh, sorry, there's nothing I can do. Dane could definitely be, of two minds here. And even if he is, which I do think he would be inclined to protect Mark in this spot, and I do think he might be willing to let Kiki go here. He's already told Adam that it's fine if Kiki leaves. So if he does want to protect Mark, it puts him in a weird spot. And it puts Anthony in a weird spot, because there's 7 votes. And if Kiki and Mark remain on the block post veto, then you have Esty, who will vote to evict Mark for sure. Damien, who will want to vote to evict Mark for sure. That's 2 votes. Dane, in a vote between Mark and Kiki, it's going to be really hard for him to justify to Esty why he votes to evict Kiki. So right. Dane might need to give a placating vote to evict Mark. But that's 3 right there. Right. Which means that Kira and Adam, they're obviously votes to evict Kiki in this situation. So that's 2. And leaving Anthony and Corey. Corey is definitely inclined to vote to evict Mark, which means Anthony will have to flip her. And that's work by itself. And then Anthony and Corey voting to evict Kiki, that's a real bad look to Esty, because Esty really trusts Anthony. Anthony's going to have to expose himself a little bit. Right. That all of that by itself is kind of, it's a tricky situation. And, I think ultimately their goal is going to try to somehow throw Kiki under the bus and convince Damien that Kiki needs to go. And so that it's not as close and that it makes more sense. But it's going to be a hard sell, especially with Mark sitting there being sketchy. So this could be an interesting vote, regardless of how it plays out. Either it is this kind of close thing where the guys are exposing themselves a little bit, or Dane kind of decides, you know what, screw Mark, and sends Mark out the door. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's well, to compare it back to the Brigade, because that's what we've been doing this season. This is around the time where the Brigade lost a member and became 3. And honestly, in this position right now, if the information that there's this guidelines starts becoming a more serious thing and people start kind of cluing in, this could be the week where they kind of just let Mark be the victim of the fall. And then they still have Adam in as their like prime head honcho target because of his like threat. Dane still gets to keep his side of Esty and Kiki. That's good for him. And Anthony also comes off fine here. And we know Dane and Anthony are really good with one another. So this is kind of the best case if they wanted to hide this further again and sweep it under the rug, if Mark was the one to go. But you are right. This is a position where they have to make this decision now, whether they're going to keep all 4 into like making it the further round of the game, or they kind of let one slide and then start banking a bit on the side things they've worked on to keep each other safe moving forward. The fact that there's only 7 votes, and the fact that this is not going to probably shake up to be a unanimous, knocking on my wooden desk, because we know that could very well happen at the end of the week. But there are a lot of game pieces here, and there is enough information trickling around that could be a detriment. And again, the fact that it's Mark out of the 4 that's sitting there after the night he had, he is shaky. He could say things that'll be a detriment to him and his alliance, so they might just get rid of him. But then also, if they decide to keep him, Dane has to make this big decision. And if Kiki goes, maybe he severs stuff with Esty. Maybe Esty comes closer to him, but maybe Esty starts not trusting him again. We'll see where it goes from here. But the fact that there's so many implications, night 1 of this week, I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, we've got an interesting week coming up here. But I do also want to just reiterate that these are probably like the worst possible nominations that Sam could have made, apart from maybe like Adam and Kira. Because she is like, she's not targeting the guys. Okay, fine. Everyone's still going to be coming after you next week because nothing is changing in the house. That's no good. But if you get Kiki out, that's at least one less person coming after you, I guess. But she's also putting Mark on the block. And potentially, if she sends Mark home, she's sending the one person in the house that will target two of the guys in the Pretty yeah. Boys and blow everything up. If she sends Mark home, that is like, she is literally doing the worst. That's honestly at this point, almost worse than her sending Kira home. Almost worse than her sending Adam home, because neither of them will target the guys at this point.
Right.
Like, somebody needs to target the guys or nobody else is going to win, and she might send the one person home that might do that.
It's very unfortunate that she can't see this. It really is.
To be fair, like, obviously she has no idea that Mark would do this, and he's never given any indication that he would. It's just like, what kind of luck is this that the one person?
It's really bad draw, because it just comes down to the fact that the one that ends up on there is the one. But then again, no one really knows that he would have been doing this. And now if it's a situation where it does blow up and he does, you know, stand on the rooftops and be like, I'll do this. It's too little, too late. Like, oh, you're just saying that because you're on the block. Because again, no one knew. And it's just unfortunate for Sam that this is the one that ends up being picked by her to get put on the block.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
So, you know.
Where do we go from here?
It's weird because I do think it's also weird for like the Pretty Boys, because I think that if they're looking at this from the perspective of Mark is still loyal to us, you know, you could go either way, but it definitely makes more sense to keep Mark around. He's a bigger target. And, you know, Esty becomes even easier to control. And honestly, if Dane thinks that he gets both Kiki and Esty in the jury as votes for him, I think that the two of them together in the jury, if they're feeling burned by Dane, may be less inclined to vote for Dane, especially if they're both there together. But if Esty is there alone, having been burned by Dane, I think she still votes for Dane 100%. So, you know, it's not always a very clear cut thing with choosing your jury members. But obviously we know that Mark is coming for these guys. And so it definitely makes sense for them to just let him loose here. And if it happens that Sam puts up Mark and Kiki, and then Mark just like goes, because like, let's say this is the first time that the Pretty Boys just kind of fail. They just can't, right. They can't do it. They can't keep Mark because it just doesn't work for them. And they're like, this sucks. We failed. It also is unintentionally the best possible thing that could have happened to them. And I'm so mad that that's the case.
Right. Like, even when they're losing somebody, it's going to benefit them heaps if it happens. Like, they can really bounce back from this and be okay. It's pretty incredible how these guys are able to find ways to get out of things, even when they're not trying to find ways to get out of things. It just kind of works for them.
Yeah. So that's what was happening last night. I can tell you a little bit from this morning. Sam has been talking with people. It looks like Kiki realizes that her talk with Sam did not go well. So we're looking at these nominations more concretely. Also, something happened this morning. The blood veto is missing. It's gone. Done. We don't know where it went. And nobody has talked about it. Mark just apparently talked to the cameras, and he's a lot more, it sounds like a lot more general about, oh, I hope I can stay. Mom and Dad, I love you.
Now he's keeping him close to the vest now.
Apparently Damien went into the lounge and he was like, where's my veto? Where'd it go? I want, this is supposed to be my veto. So Damien does not have it. And I believe nobody else has given any indication that that they might have it. So I don't know if somebody has it or if it's just gone for now because it's going to go somewhere else. Maybe now it's hidden and there's some sort of riddle to find it. That would be kind of cool. But I'm not going to get my hopes up. So, I mean, Dane, as they're saying in the chat, thinks that it might be Adam, but, yeah. I don't see any reason to really believe that quite yet. So,
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah. The only real thing that Dane has for that is because Adam was the early riser and Adam was like, not around when it was found. So maybe that, like, when it was found that it's not there. I do hope it's something like a capture the flag. It's like, now you guys know where it belongs. So when you find it, if you bring it here, it's yours, right? So if you put it back in the case, now it's yours. No one else's. So now you can touch it. No one else can still touch it. I don't know. I would be intrigued if that's what it is. What I would be very happy if it isn't is a vote where someone just gets the blood veto. I feel now that everyone's seen it, I would like for them to try and look out for it and try and find it.
Yeah, well, because there's this vote about the bed that people are speculating about that maybe whoever got the bed got the veto. But I feel like Damien would have got it if that were the case. And then, I don't know, I feel like throwing out what I might do with this theme and these events, if they saw the blood veto and then it was gone, maybe Arissa comes on the screen and says, uh-oh, guys, the blood veto was stolen. You have to catch the thieves. And then you have to solve the riddles and find out where the thieves stashed the blood veto. And then you get to keep it for yourself. I don't know, something like that. But, it's probably just going to be a vote.
Yeah. I would love for it, because that's the fun stuff. The fun stuff is when they get an extra task to do and that will involve trying to find something like this. I would be here for that. And also, it doesn't really help that it does look like Damien's going to be the front runner for all these votes, because he has won twice now. So I don't doubt that if it happens again, he's probably going to be the recipient, which is not ultimately that, because he's not part of the Pretty Boys. He's not part of that majority alliance. So that's good in a way. But it's still, I hate to be that guy, but let's have these people earn it. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
Is it insane?
So that's what's going on. Like I said, looking like the Kiki and Mark noms are solidifying here, and that could lead to an interesting week. We'll definitely have to wait and see how this goes, but I'm interested. I'm curious about how this is going to play out.
Yeah, me too. So I guess let's pretend that there's no complications, no problems, no conversations will sway anything. One of them wins the veto. Would you assume that Corey's the one who's going to go up after?
I don't know, because I feel like Kira really just wants Corey and Anthony to stay off the block, because they want to build that relationship. So I could see them pushing, like, Damien's a great pawn, and Sam and Adam being like, but we don't want to do Damien, but maybe it makes sense. Or I could also see Esty going up as another person. I think it also depends on who comes down, whether it's Kiki or Mark, because if it's Kiki, then they have to find a new target at that point. So if Kiki comes down, I could definitely see Sam being like, you know what, Corey, it's got to be Corey now. Who else can we target? And she might just push that through. If it's Mark that comes down, I could see Esty going up as a pawn next to Kiki. So
yeah,
we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I'm just thinking about all of those people and none of them are the Pretty Boys.
Not a one.
All right. So that's what we've got for you. Anything else you wanted to bring up, Puya?
Not really. This was a fun week. I can't right now live off the top of my head think of the last time a double was like juicy. So again, this was kind of I felt sad. I love that Eddie got his chance yesterday. That was really nice. Go for Eddie, good for him. I felt bad that he thought he was going to be so boring. I think he gave us what we kind of wanted out of the episodes proper. Like, he was a good presence there, so that's good. Are you going to be talking to both of them today?
Yes, I will be talking to both Chelsea and Eddie at the same time, I believe. And we'll have a short period of time, but hopefully we can get some good questions in. Very, very excited to talk to both of them and ask them questions like, why didn't you throw Kira under the bus?
Yeah, the Marcellus thing that you said, you're going to have to do. We're ready. We're here for it.
So make sure you listen to that one. I really enjoy these exit interviews, so we'll have some fun with that. All right, that's what we've got for you today. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And then Sunday night, big news. The fans requested it. We will be back to recap the Sunday night episode. So tune in Sunday night after the episode. We will be there to talk everything that happens in the episode. And I even booked a guest for us here. We're going to be talking to Ryan from Big Brother Canada 6. So,
hey.
Come hang out with Ryan, and we'll talk about the episode on Sunday night. So tune in for that. And then, of course, Monday night, we will have the roundtable where we talk about what happened with these stocks, these shares of stocks, and what's going on there, because double eviction happened. We could see a lot of people losing money here. Spoiler alert. I think I lost money.
Not looking good for the Terran market right now.
let's find out what happens with the stock watch. It'll be fun. So all right, that's what we've got for you. Puya, where can people find you?
At Puyaism on Twitter and other social medias that you might find me on.
All right. You can find me at Armstrong Terran on Twitter and on Twitch, twitch.tv/Terran Armstrong. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.